Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's topics: on the endangered business list, neighborhood bars. We'll explain why. Also, the general unawareness small business owners have about the new chip-enabled credit cards, and marketing lessons from a high-end retailer. Well, if one of your pastimes is gathering at the local watering hole to watch sporting events or catch up with friends, that routine is more and more in jeopardy. Neighborhood bars are closing at an alarming rate. MarketWatch refers to it as the Chipotlefication of America. More from reporter Katie Hill. Katie, is this just in certain areas or everywhere?
Everywhere across the country this is happening, because here's what's happening. Consumers, millennials, are kind of driving this trend. They really want not just a place you go grab a beer and maybe some fries. They want a place that serves drinks and food. So the Chipotles of the world, the Smashburgers of the world, that kind of thing is really replacing the neighborhood bar. Not just chains, by the way. I'm picking on Chipotle because everyone knows it. But, you know, these a little more upscale food, they've got a lot of drinks. That's the new trend. That's what's replacing your old neighborhood bar where you get a pint and you sit on a maybe slightly sticky bar stool, you know, and you know the bartender and he's been there for, you know, 15 years. That thing is really getting replaced by the Chipotles of the world.
Wow. All right. So that makes it seem, though, that these neighborhood bars are not making any kind of adjustment to this trend with easy food.
And unfortunately, many aren't, because I mean, that's why they're closing. Because, by the way, it's hard to see this trend when you've been in the neighborhood and you say, I've been here for 50 years. This is just how I do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just not what the new consumer wants. And, I mean, everybody probably knows their favorite neighborhood bar, and plenty of people. I wrote on Facebook asking people, you know, if you had a neighborhood bar that shuttered. And, I mean, so many people wrote to me, oh, my gosh, this one's gone, this one's gone, this one's gone. So clearly they're not making adjustments. The data show it. Anecdotes show it. It's sad.
Wow. We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called Why Your Favorite Neighborhood Bar is Closing. You know, it's interesting, and I saw embedded in your story, too, kind of the Starbucks angle to all this with the question, will Starbucks become your new neighborhood tavern? Because some of them are serving booze, right?
That's right. They're just jumping on this trend too, right? They like Chipotle and all these other places have all this market research, you know, to back up the fact that exactly what the Nielsen data is showing is that people want a sort of a little bit more upscale experience of, you know, they want different kinds of drinks and they want, you know, gourmet food along with it, and Starbucks is jumping in that.
Wow. So it doesn't even matter that there are things like memories or history or great service or friendliness associated. I mean, this is what's happening.
Right. I was disturbed by it because I thought there was, I mean, maybe it's not the healthiest sense of community in your neighborhood bar, but there really was that, right? Like the same people came, you knew the bartender, whereas you get the feeling that, like, do you really get that at Chipotle? But that's, you know, what people are really going for. So I don't know that. I thought that was interesting to think about because the neighborhood bar did provide a really a meeting place. It's the Cheers phenomenon, right? They provided a meeting place for people for many decades, and now that's really going away.
Where everybody knows your name, right? MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. Well, when it was announced earlier this year that the U.S. would upgrade to chip credit cards, many small business owners were not happy with the high costs associated with the shift. Well, it's been more than 2 weeks since the new cards went into use, and many entrepreneurs and small business owners still are not budging. Here's correspondent Dominic Savino.
The number one complaint from small business owners has remained the same all year long. We didn't have the money for new card readers then, and we don't have the money for new card readers now. The October 1st deadline, making retailers liable for fraud when they lack chip card equipment, has come and gone. Yet industry surveys say that only about a third of small businesses have made the necessary updates. While the $1,000 price tags for new card readers have been a major factor, entrepreneurs cite the slow rollout from credit card companies as another reason why they aren't rushing to upgrade. Take Visa, for example, who says they've only issued chip cards to about 20% of their cardholders. Analysts aren't too concerned, though. They expect an 80% compliance rate from small businesses by this time next year. Gordon?
Thank you, Dominic. Coming up next, an example of a big retailer getting free publicity.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Well, if you're among the best customers of Neiman Marcus, you probably have received the retailer's annual Christmas book, which contains some of the most unusual gift ideas. But what's just as interesting is the over-the-top fantasy gifts that do not make it into the catalog this year. It's a marketing lesson from a big retailer who generates, at least initially, unanticipated free publicity. More on those over-the-top gifts that don't make it from Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. Suzanne, how about this year's list?
These are over-the-top gifts that usually are, you know, very, very expensive and things that you would never think of buying for yourself, like a custom-built submarine or a suit of armor. And, you know, I started looking into how they sort of pull this together, and they get, you know, hundreds of proposals every year. And some of the proposals are just completely off the wall. So they got one year they were, somebody suggested that they sell his and her caskets. Another year, somebody wrote to them saying, you know, I make custom-built guillotines. Wouldn't that be a nice Christmas gift?
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Of course, Neiman Marcus said, no, thank you.
Right. Jeez. All right. But, well, what caught my attention initially was the custom submarine. Did that actually appear in a catalog, or did that get cut as
that
a proposal?
It actually appeared in a catalog. It was priced at $20 million. Nobody actually bought it, so go figure, right? But the woman who handles these gifts was telling me, you know, that appeared in the 2000 catalog. And in 2001, after the September 11th terrorist attack, she got a call from a sergeant with a New York City counterterrorism task force saying, we need to track down the submarine in case somebody actually bought it. We don't want a rogue submarine in private hands. And she had to reassure him that, no, nobody actually bought the
wow.
sub.
How about that? Is that right? We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. She's got to look at the gifts that did not make it into the Neiman Marcus annual holiday catalog. So what goes into the selection? Is there some sort of criteria Neiman Marcus uses to, you know, put in this kind of this fantasy list of gifts?
Well, their criteria, they want it to be exclusive, so something you can't just go out and purchase anywhere else. They want it to be sort of very high quality, and that doesn't just mean expensive. They had proposals for gold-plated hand weights, and they say, well, really, you know, what makes that any better than hand weights you could buy at your local store for $10, right?
So, what's some of the more bizarre stuff maybe that Neiman Marcus put in the catalog that they thought would never sell but actually did sell?
And there has to be some whimsy about it. They did like a custom-built hen house with, you know, like a chandelier and a whole like luxurious hen house. You know, there has to be something that makes you want to smile and laugh a little bit.
Now, you mentioned the his and her caskets before. That did not make it in. Was that something that was actually debated, or did somebody see that and just say, no, that's not going in?
No, they debated that. In fact, they had the company who proposed it sort of draw up sort of a mock design of what these would look like, and they had pretty much ruled it out, but as sort of a joke, they slipped it into the list of proposals that the CEO had to review, and the CEO at the time said he remembered seeing that proposal, and he sort of started laughing and thought, this is not really an appropriate Christmas gift.
Thanks, Suzanne. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. You know, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And while there, check out our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.